Good afternoon and welcome to the Midday News for today, Friday, November 20th. I'm your presenter, Kimberly Benjamin. In the headlines, PwC confirms it has not been able to meet payments to its employees for several fortnights now. Colgate Palmolive, the company that owns Dominica Coconut Products, shuts its doors in Dominica. IDB approves U.S. $25 million loan to Trinidad and Tobago to help improve its trade facilitation processes. And Malian Special Forces enter Radisson Blue Hotel in Mali's capital to end a siege by gunmen holding 170 hostages. The news is brought to you compliments Courts Dominica Limited. The details coming up.
Don't wait till Black Friday. Redeem your Blackjack 21 coins now at Courts from Monday, November 23rd for an additional 21% off at Courts, including already reduced items. Just present your cards, totaling 21. And it's that easy. You heard right. Black Friday DJ starts this Monday at Courts. Courts, bringing value home.
The Public Works Corporation is confirming that it has not been able to meet payments to its employees for several fortnights now. Chairman of the board of the PwC, Titus Francis, says the latest development is very unfortunate. He says the corporation is experiencing financial problems but will spare no efforts to ensure payments are made.
It is true that unfortunately, again, we have not been able to meet payments for the last four fortnights, fortnightly paid employees, and 2 months for the monthly paid employees. And all of that really speaks to the cash trap situation that the corporation is experiencing. And it is not a comfortable, it is an embarrassing situation, as a matter of fact. But that is what we are faced with. That is what we are grappling with. That is what we are committed and determined to resolve as we go down the road.
The PwC has had to lay off some 20 employees because of what it said is their inability to pay. These employees have reportedly filed for redundancy payments. After being out of commission for almost 3 months, the West Coast community of Collyhill can now boast of pipe-borne water. Public Relations Officer of Dowasco, Edward Regist, says after several weeks of relentless efforts, that community has been restored.
Prior to the passage of Tropical Storm Erica in August, the community was supplied from the Koulibistri intake, which was constructed as part of the West Coast Water Supply Project. During the passage of Tropical Storm Erica, the Koulibistri intake was put out of commission due to damage caused by heavy rains and a flooded river. Over the past several weeks, the Dowasco crews have worked to restore the supply. The Collyhill intake was reactivated to facilitate the supply to the community as of Sunday, 15th November 2015. Dowasco is continuing efforts to fully restore supply to the neighboring communities of Koulibistri, Monrachet, Grand Savan, Dupla, and Bioche.
Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrit says the time has come to advance discussion on a regional health insurance scheme. He says the impact of CNCDs on regional economies is a cause for concern.
Diabetes, hypertension, and the illnesses associated with diabetes is a major threat to our economies. And when a 40-year-old, both legs are amputated, and he has 5 kids at his home to take care of, somebody who would have been in the middle class would be brought down to poverty and a burden on the state. He will no longer be able to work 40 hours. So it's important for us to look at the issue of health insurance. As a region, for a population of 600,000 people, I believe this is an ideal constituency for that kind of consideration. Because too many of our citizens are finding it difficult to finance healthcare. We've seen people with vast bank accounts have reduced to zero or even to loans to finance their healthcare. But what about those of us who are unable to contract a health insurance program? What about those of us who do not have resources in the bank to reach out to? And I dare say I believe that that constituent group is in the majority. And therefore, we have to find a way of bridging that gap with regards to our health and our healthcare financing. So I'm hoping that we can advance the discussions with regards to a regional health insurance program. We in Dominica are looking at our own, but I believe it would serve those beneficiaries much better if we have a larger pool of persons to look at.
The Prime Minister has also called for the further strengthening of security within the member states of the Organization of Eastern Caribbean States. He told the official start of the 62nd meeting of the OECS heads of authority in Dominica on Wednesday that the need is relevant against the prevalence of illegal activities in the region.
Security of our country is paramount. And we have to ensure that within the OECS, there's a greater propensity towards the sharing of information and intelligence in order for us to curb the prevalence of illegal activities in our countries and our region. And I believe that we have to do it together because our region is very porous. And we have to continue to bear on the support of the United States government, who've been very helpful, exceptional in the efforts towards regional security. The British government has been very, very, very helpful to us. The French and many of our developing partners have been chipping in. So I believe that we have to charge the ministers of national security and the chiefs of police in our region to look more closely at cooperation. We're doing fine work. We have improved capabilities, but we have to continue to strengthen our commitment.
Meanwhile, Director General of the OECS, Dr. Didacus Jules, has called on the sub-region to be a voice for non-independent member states of the organization. Dr. Jules said that the OECS Commission is challenged to exercise greater responsiveness to concerns of member states. He says lessons from member states can be extracted that create best practice or avoid a duplication of trial and error.
A good example of this is our engagement with Dominica on addressing the setbacks of Tropical Storm Erica. On the assumption supported by the science of climate change that such devastating events will occur more frequently and unexpectedly, we are proposing to treat Dominica as a precursor of climatic events to come and as the exemplar of what building resistance requires. It is clear that our collective future requires a more integrated approach to land use and coastal zone management, zoning, construction codes, water management, and so much more. A related challenge for the Commission is that of giving voice to the needs of non-independent member states. All member states, whether full or associate, must find value in their membership. We need to speak collectively to things which impact the viability of any member state. We must be the advocates of the just causes of member states in which, for example, their financial services are discriminatorily blacklisted when jurisdictions such as the British Virgin Islands have done everything possible to maintain international compliance. As a Commission, we need to move faster to strengthen our institutional capacity to act more strategically and decisively in the public interest in energy, broadband and telecoms, food security, poverty elimination and other areas.
Meantime, the chairman of the OECS Authority, Grenadian Prime Minister Dr. Keith Mitchell, has called for OECS heads to make an effort to pay their dues to the Secretariat.
At the 60th Authority meeting in Martinique, OECS heads took a decision to provide for the collective financing of the organs and bodies of the Economic Union. And other such key integration projects such as CARICOM impacts. The time has come for us to give effect to this decision and to make the actual institutional arrangement that would result in the payment of contributions when they are due. The reality is that our economic union cannot function like we are going. We cannot say that this union is important. We cannot say that this OECS authority is important and that we refuse to make the basic commitment to ensure that it functions.
You're listening to Q95's Midday News. Aid Bank General Manager Julius Corbett says the latest report from the Caribbean Information and Credit Rating Services Limited, CARICRIS, announcing the bank's removal from its rating watch is good news. CARICRIS is the Caribbean's regional credit ratings agency. It is a unique market-driven initiative aimed at fostering and supporting the development of regional debt market in the Caribbean. It said in a press release issued Wednesday that the ratings indicate that the aid bank's level of creditworthiness in relation to other obligations in the Caribbean is adequate. Corbett says the latest rating also gives the aid bank the green light to borrow from financial agencies.
Prior to Erica, we were the BBB rating. They dropped it to watching it. And then later, like a few days ago, it came back saying that we are back to normal to the BBB rating, which means that we have been able to weather the storm. We are paying our debts on time. And therefore, for going forward, we're able to raise funds on the market, wherever we want to. So it really is a measure of how well you have managed your debt. Well, from the aid bank standpoint, it means that we can go to our funding agencies and convince them that we the quality of our debt is good, and they can now allow us additional financing, which we've done now in turn on lend to prospective borrowers. But it's good for us. It means that they're still comfortable the way we are. They like the central balance sheet. Our income statement is okay. And they feel comfortable to give us that level rating. Hopefully, next year, things will get better. We move from a BBB negative to a BBB or B plus.
Colgate Palmolive, the company that owns Dominica Coconut Products, has announced a decision to shut its doors in Dominica. Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrett broke the news Thursday in an address to the nation. He says government stands ready to provide some 94 employees with the necessary support in the wake of the latest decision. He says government has also placed a proposal to Colgate Palmolive to acquire the property in an effort to continue the operations.
I want to say from the outset that we empathize with the employees of DCP, 94 of them, who will be affected by the closure of the plant. And to say to them that the government will provide them with all the necessary support to mitigate against the loss of their employment. And of course, we will meet with them very soon. To discuss with them the way forward insofar as their own individual needs. As you know, some time ago, DCP did in fact release a number of employees, and the government provided tremendous support to those who were affected. I would also say to the nation that we have in fact placed a proposal, that is to say the government has placed a proposal before a Colgate Palmolive for the acquisition of the property at DCP. It is the government's intention to continue the operations once we can settle on this agreement that we put forward before Colgate Palmolive for the acquisition of the property. I intend to meet with the president of Colgate Palmolive very, very soon so that we can advance the conclusion or the discussions with regards to the proposal that we have proposed to Colgate Palmolive.
The Prime Minister says the factory plays an important role in the national economy.
Just to say that some years ago we had in fact offered to purchase Colgate Palmolive and to even expand the to reintroduce a number of the of the products that were removed from the line of production some years ago. We have reintroduced, albeit a modified proposal to Colgate Palmolive. They did so today, and we look forward to hearing from them as soon as possible. But for the immediate, our concern is with regards to the employees. We have spoken to Colgate Palmolive, and we have said to them very clearly from the government standpoint that while we recognize that the laws make certain provisions for severance, and it defines the benefits which each employee would be entitled to based on his number of years employed, but we also called on Colgate Palmolive to go beyond the legal mandate and to provide additional financial and other benefits to the employees. They have given us the assurances that they will go beyond what the legislation has dictated, and we look forward to them honoring that particular commitment to us.
The Dominica Diabetic Association says it is worried about the growing trend of the disease among young people in Dominica. Dominica joins the rest of the world in observing World Diabetes Day this week. President of the Dominica Diabetes Association is Marvelyn Birmingham.
What we have recognized is that a number of younger persons are being diagnosed with diabetes, and many of them have already had problems in that they are on dialysis. Some of them have lost their eyesight, and there was one young lady in particular who is now a member of the association. She said that she didn't know she was diabetic until she went into a coma, and then and ended up in hospital, and then it was diagnosed. So there are a number of young persons whom we need to speak with, to help build their awareness that even if you are not diabetic today, tomorrow it might very well happen.
This year's World Diabetes Day was held under the theme, Take Action to Change Your Life Today and Take Action to Change the World Tomorrow. And a pitted savan resident who was severely affected during the passage of Tropical Storm Erica was among four women entrepreneurs who were Thursday awarded for their contribution to Dominica's economy. This as Dominica joins the rest of the world in observing Women's Entrepreneurship Day on Thursday. Proprietor of the Dominica Essential Oils and Spices Cooperative Societies Limited, Angela Laura, lost not only her home during the August 27 storm, but she also lost her son and grandson, as well as the company she helped found with her husband. The Bay Oil Distillery, which was regarded as one of Dominica's longest-serving, most successful, and leading cooperative societies, blew up during the passage of Erica. Dominica's ambassador for World Entrepreneurship Day, Jenny Revere, says for the first time, 17 Caribbean countries have joined forces to empower and elevate women and girls around the globe.
Women and girls worldwide will be elevated. Female entrepreneurs across the globe will be celebrated. The mission of WED is to empower, celebrate, and support women entrepreneurs through a worldwide movement. For the first time, 17 countries of the Caribbean have joined the celebration of women entrepreneurs, from Bahamas in the north to Guyana and Suriname in the south. We have taken in the entire archipelago. These 17 appointed ambassadors have formed a dynamic group called Go Sisters. G-O is growth-oriented, but it simply means that we are moving up all the time. And we collaborate very closely. Events such as panel discussions, seminars, networking events, breakfast meetings have been organized throughout these 17 countries of the Caribbean. As ambassador for Dominica, I have been assisted in no small way, and I have to say this, by Jennifer Aird, who went above and beyond the call of duty of our committee members, and hand in hand, we were able to arrange this event to honor four outstanding women entrepreneurs who have faced the challenges, persevered, and withstood the test of time.
The other awardees were Avril Boston, founder of Coal Pots Products, and John Baptist, proprietor of Papalot Wilderness Retreat, and Vina McDougall, owner of Vina's Guesthouse. Angela Laura was also presented with an undisclosed cash contribution, and Beverly Royer of Bath Estate, who is involved in the craft business sector, walked away with the 2015 Dominica Youth Business Trust Business Plan Innovation Award. She received $5,000 at the DYBT's 10th graduation ceremony and awards held at the Arak House of Culture on Wednesday. Royer was chosen among five other young entrepreneurs for the top award. In other news this afternoon, the Inter-American Development Bank, the IDB, has approved a U.S. $25 million loan to Trinidad and Tobago to help the Twin Island Republic improve its trade facilitation processes, part of an effort to boost and diversify the economy. The loan will help strengthen the country's single electronic window for trade and business facilitation project, otherwise known as TT BizLink, a secure business portal created in 2009 that simplifies foreign trade and business processes by providing around-the-clock access to relevant government services. The platform seeks to substantially reduce time and costs of trade and business transactions for private sector users while gathering and sharing relevant information among government agencies to simplify processes and optimize revenue collection. and Malian special forces have entered the Radisson Blue Hotel in Mali's capital, Bamako, to end a siege by gunmen who had been holding 170 people hostage. The gunmen stormed the U.S.-owned hotel, which is popular with foreign businesses and airline crews, shooting and shouting, "God is great," in Arabic. Mali's interior minister said 30 hostages has been freed so far. He said 3 people had been shot dead and 2 soldiers were wounded, but their lives were not in danger. And that's the midday news, but first a recap of our headlines. PwC confirms it has not been able to meet payments to its employees for several fortnights now. Colgate Palmolive, the company that owns Dominica Coconut Products, shuts its doors in Dominica. IDB approves US $25 million loan to Trinidad and Tobago to help improve its trade facilitation processes. And Malian Special Forces enter Radisson Blue Hotel in Mali's capital to end a siege by gunmen holding 170 hostages. The news is brought to you through the very kind compliments of Courts Dominica Limited. If you missed any of our newscasts this week, log on to our website at www.q95da.com to view the stories, or click on the podcast icon to listen to the various packages. On behalf of the entire Q95 News team, I have been your presenter, Kimberly Benjamin.